You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend. You remember the old show, Wide World of Sports, that opening line, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That's a perfect tagline for the NCAA tournament. Oh, we saw the thrill everywhere. Underdogs like Oral Roberts, Loyola of Chicago advancing to the Sweet 16. North Texas, Ohio University pulling off surprises. And then the agony of defeat. The feeling many of us had looking at our brackets after Ohio State and Illinois lost. I was looking at some research here. Two of the Big Ten teams that are out, Ohio State and Illinois, played in that overtime thriller last Sunday. That was the Big Ten title game. It's hardly a new trend in the last 5 years in which an NCAA tournament has been played. Of the 10 teams to play in the Big Ten title game, only one of those 10 got as far as the Elite Eight. That was Michigan back in 2018, and they went on to the national title game, losing to Villanova. The other 9 all failed to reach the Elite Eight, with 4 of them failing to survive the second round. With a year off, a lot of people have forgotten just how great March Madness can be. It delivered in a big way. It was great. I mean, I have some, I guess, issues with, they didn't bounce around yesterday. They bounced around late last night. But the afternoon, I thought that's what's fun when they're bouncing around. By the way, full slate of games starting at noon Eastern today. Plan accordingly. But the energy is there. The effort is there. And really, there might not be another sporting event where you have those intangibles at play. Energy and effort. They play a bigger role because talent alone doesn't guarantee you anything. Look at these teams that have been bounced. And you get a wide contrast of styles here. And there's little turnaround. Teams have to figure out how to play a team that they may never have seen. Imagine if you think you're prepping for Texas, and all of a sudden you go, well, we should probably look at Abilene Christian a little bit here, right? Nah, we're going to look at Texas. And then you turn around, and then you have to play these teams that you probably never thought were going to be there. And the results have been as unpredictable as ever, and that's why we love the tournament. Even if entering the bracket contest can be extremely humbling. But a lot of surprises there yesterday and last night over the weekend. Used to be Jim Boeheim could coach during the regular season, couldn't coach in the tournament. Then he won a national title and that went away. Now I think he can coach in the tournament. He can't coach during the regular season because they barely get in. And then all of a sudden you look up and you go, oh, I'll be damned. You made it to the Sweet 16. And you know Jim Boeheim has got to be in a great mood after watching his son have another great game, and they're going to the Sweet 16. Here's the Syracuse head coach.
It's hard to make the Sweet 16. Look around. Look at some of the teams that are out. It's really hard to get to the Sweet 16. When I started coaching, we thought that was you're supposed to do that. You know, I think we went to 14 or 15 Sweet 16s, and some of them I don't even think we celebrated. Probably 10 of them. I don't even think we celebrate them. We just figured that's what we're supposed to do. But it's very hard. There's so many good teams. You watch all these teams that are winning that nobody knows that much about, and it's not an accident.
That was a great game, but contrasting styles and these teams that can live and die by the three, and all it takes is one game. Just a little magic. That's it. And you have your blue bloods, or at least teams we thought were blue bloods, and these teams, these, you know, smaller schools, they don't consider themselves smaller schools. They've been together. Loyola of Chicago's been together. They've been here before. So Illinois out, and Virginia out, and Texas out, Purdue out, Ohio State's out, Oklahoma State's out. So your Sweet 16 has such basketball powers as Abilene Christian, Oregon State, Syracuse, Oral Roberts, Loyola of Chicago. Yep, I'm sure you had that in your bracket challenge. This is where somebody who knows nothing about basketball will then say, oh, I had Oral Roberts. You probably did. What about all the stuff you didn't have? But somebody's going to have the, oh, I had Abilene Christian going far. Does anybody want to get it off their chest now that they had somebody that nobody thought was going to go this far? Yeah, I didn't think so. I'm not even looking at my bracket. Like, I don't even care. I watched, I enjoyed over the weekend, basketball coming up later today, and I look forward to it. It's antiseptic, you know. You don't have the atmosphere there, but you still have, you have the drama. Having the fans there, fan bases, the bands there, all of that, and you throw it all together, it's magical. You know, you still lose that excitement that you hear, you see, you feel, and even the disappointment. But full slate of basketball games starting at noon Eastern today. McLovin, you got a poll question for me.
Yes, and can I weigh in on the poll question too? The first option, do you like all these underdogs advancing? And I'm going to say no, okay. Because I think it's a duty of the media to say, oh, we love all these underdogs. But the second my bracket went away, I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch Loyola Chicago in the final eight or whatever. Honestly, I bet your ratings slip because of all these underdogs. We all know it. We're duty to say that we love it, but I don't know if everyone loves it.
He said duty twice. Baylor and Gonzaga are there. Those are the two best teams in college basketball. Illinois is not bringing huge ratings if they advance.
Well, Baylor and Gonzaga, that's what you got for me?
Well, at least if it gets there, you have two really good teams. It's not where you go, oh, I don't want to watch that game or that match or that team. These are the two best teams during the regular season. Whether you like that style or know these teams, you probably don't. But if they do get there, at least you're going to see what would be a legitimate national title game. But, you know, Loyola Chicago has some branding there. They've been there before. They're kind of fun. But I love being introduced to a team, a coach, a story that, you know, we wouldn't normally get. This happens every year from the standpoint of we get through the first two rounds, we're all excited, and then we go, okay, can we return to normal now? Well, what is normal now? Our world is not normal. And now you're saying, hey, you're hermetically sealed in Indianapolis. There's no home court advantage, you know, no time zone advantage. It's just you go in there and you play. It's almost like an AAU tournament where you just throw everybody in there and everybody plays. And then we'll see who emerges here. But, you know, Loyola's fun. I loved watching Ohio. I saw Ohio play Illinois during the regular season. So that was my first introduction to them. Oregon State, that's a great mystery to me because I thought Oregon was going to be the team to beat out of the Pac-12. Syracuse, oh, if I hear it one more time. You know, that Syracuse zone, it's hard to match up against that Syracuse zone. For the last 30 years, I've heard that Syracuse zone. Do you think somebody will eventually figure out that? Why is it we figure out the Syracuse zone during the regular season? But during the tournament, no, that Syracuse zone. I was like, okay, all right, whatever. That Syracuse zone. By the way, Oral Roberts has the leading score in the nation, in case you didn't know. Oral Roberts had one of...
Look at you pumping up the little guys.
I'm trying to.
There you go, DP.
I'm trying. Because I remember Oral Roberts back in the 70s when they had a star player named Richie Fuqua who averaged, I think, 35 a game, one of the top scorers in the nation. That's the last time I remember hearing from Oral Roberts until this weekend. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. So what do you have, McLovin?
So that was my first question.
All right.
I have another really mean one. Why do we overrate the Big Ten so much? Is it because those schools are good at football? Because everyone in the media went to a Big Ten school? Because we grew up rooting for them?
I think the consensus was around the country that not just those who went to Big Ten schools, that the Big Ten was by far and away the best conference this year.
It wasn't because 40% of college basketball writers went to Northwestern.
Well, okay. The other ones went to Syracuse, by the way.
I know. Oh, my God. I almost closed my Twitter account, but Syracuse was winning yesterday.
See, that's the worst part of March Madness. When you hear from a fan base and you go, oh, no. If Syracuse wins, I'm going to hear... I'm going to hear from Mike Tirico, Sean McDonough, Bob Costas. What else do you have, McLovin?
By the way, the worst is Adam Schein. But do you lose, if we ask the question, did you lose one of your final four teams, do you think most of the audience would say yes?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. I think a lot of people loved Illinois. There were a couple of Ohio State outliers there. I think most people took Baylor and Gonzaga because that seemed like the smart choices there. What else do you have?
Okay, so Paulie came up with a Porter Moser question that he will explain.
Okay, so you're Porter Moser. You got a lot of pub a couple of years ago for being the head coach of Loyola going to the Final Four. That's kind of usually once in a lifetime. He passed on a couple job offers, including St. John's, which is, you know, pretty good job offer. He would have tripled his salary.
Mm.
If he gets offered again, if he goes deep in the tournament again, or even just where he is a Sweet 16, if you're Porter Moser, stick at Loyola for like a Mark Few move forever, or this is the time to jump because you may not be back.
Well, I would like to see Indiana at least interview him. Marquette is going to be open. Utah, Minnesota, he's going to have opportunities. But it comes down to what is your lifestyle. He's from Chicago. Unless it's the Illinois job, if you love it there, you love the atmosphere there. The only tricky part with something like that is, hey, you did it. Hey, you did it again. Brad Stevens took Butler to the national title game twice, and then he left to go to the Celtics. I don't know if Porter Moser is going to go something bigger like that. I don't know. Because it comes down to what are you comfortable doing? And what are the expectation levels when you stay at a school, when you have some magic like that? Like Archie Miller was at Dayton. Dayton could have won the national title 2 years ago. Or last year, I should say. And then he goes, you know, he takes a job. You know, you jump off when you can. When your team advances, you're going to ride this and you get another job. Like Musselman, Eric Musselman. He was at Nevada. Then he goes to Arkansas. Here's Arkansas in the Sweet 16. They all want to take that next step and then keep going, keep going. By the way, I know we think, God, Brad Stevens has got to go back to Indiana. He's coaching the Celtics. Okay? Like, he's the Celtics head coach. Oh, you got to go back to Indiana. You got to go back. Okay. He's from Indiana. His dad went to Indiana. I mean, it's not like you're the Sacramento Kings where you go, oh, Luke Walton's got to go back to Arizona and coach. You're still the Celtics head coach. Oh, you got to go back to Indiana. No, you don't. It's preposterous to think, well, he's got to go back there. If the Celtics don't want him anymore, okay. If I'm Brad Stevens, I'm coaching in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. Not a program that hasn't done anything in a long time. Oh, you got to go back to Indiana. No, you don't. Yes, Paul.
And Brad Stevens will be able to go back to Indiana at any point he wants to. Let's say there's a midseason game next year, and they're, you know, Indiana's at halftime versus Michigan. He can call up then. They love him, but it's not happening.
You can go back and visit. I go back and visit Cincinnati. I like where I am. I'm good. Yeah, see?
Right, people assume that you always have to go back to where you came from, really don't. Sometimes there's a reason people want to get the hell out of it.
I was shocked when people said, oh, Brad Stevens. And there was a report over the weekend that he's going back. That Brad Stevens is going to take the Indiana job. And I went, and I checked with my source, and I said, what's going on? No, Brad Stevens is not going back. I told you that last week. I said, yeah, I know I reported that. But all of a sudden, somebody put it out there that he was, hey, I'm hearing Brad Stevens is going to go back to Indiana. I go, God, wait. If he went back to Indiana, maybe the Pacers job, but not IU. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't know. The Celtics job? Larry Bird and Kevin McHale ain't walking through that door anytime soon. Who said that? Was that Petito?
Yes. Yes. And that was fun to watch Patino. I know that they lost and, you know, they got blown out in the second half. That guy can coach. You may not want him as your coach. You may not like him, but when I was asked about this last week, I said he's one of the top five coaches in college basketball and maybe one of the top five coaches in all of basketball. He can coach. He really can. He understands the game. You know, Iona is hanging in there against Alabama, and Alabama's a better team, by far better team. Yes, Todd.
And he's doubled down saying he's in heaven. He's not chasing any big-time programs anymore. This is
He's in New Rochelle. He's not in heaven. He's in New Rochelle. And I wondered if they had beaten Alabama, then I wonder if he would still say he was in heaven. Like, old habits die hard with these coaches. I think we bet on this, didn't we? I was the only one who said Rick Pitino will not take another job. By the time he retires, he will not take another job. And I bet on that. Foolish of me. But he did a great job. Although his star player is 24. Did you guys look at these? These guys don't look like guys that I went to college with. These guys are grown men out there. It's like they just left their construction job, came in and put a basketball uniform on. These guys are, there are guys in the NBA who look a whole lot younger than some of these college players. They're men. I mean, it is the men's basketball tournament. You know, they used to be kids.
Should be the grown-ass man.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, McLovin.
Our upcoming guest, Cameron Crutwig, she sure doesn't look like a college kid.
He's like an eighth-year senior. He looks like a longshoreman.
Yeah.
He looks like he could be like, I have an eight-year-old in my daughter's class.
He's the college version of the Joker.
Oh, my God, that's perfect.
Yes. He's one of those guys where you watch him, you go, how's he doing this? And he did it 2 years ago when they went to the Final Four. Yes, Todd.
Oh, McLovin stole my thunder there. He looks like someone that probably has a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. And supposedly he's got some personality. He plays the harmonica. He does Will Ferrell impersonation.
Is he bringing the harmonica?
I asked. I haven't heard back, but I did make the request for him to have that in his pocket.
Yeah, he should. Fun. Yeah. Well, he should put it in his hand. If it's in his pocket, then I want him to play it. If he's got his harmonica. I like how he says that he's not a singer. He's a performer. I don't know what that means. I'm not a singer.
It's his week, though.
By the way, and you know what his favorite song is?
I do, because I was doing some research, but okay. I love him more than ever now.
Okay. There's your giveaway. Yeah, Paul.
Kiss on My List, Hall & Oates.
Not that song.
Hmm.
Yes.
McCoy. Private Eyes?
Nope. Man Eater.
Oh. Wow.
Now, I've got an hour to debate, to ponder. If he sings Man Eater, does Todd get to sing with Cameron Crutwig?
Oh, yeah. A dream come true.
Yeah. But you have to be a background singer.
That's fair.
Like, you can't dominate like you try to normally.
But when I saw that, he likes Hall & Oates, Billy Joel, the 80s and 90s music, and he's all in on Man Eater. How great is that?
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. He's a CBS Sports College Hoops reporter, managing editor of college basketball for The Athletic. Seth Davis joining us on the program. Let me start with the obvious question. Who told you guys that you could dance?
That we could dance or could dance well? Those are two different things. Everybody can dance.
So I'll give you credit for effort there, Seth.
That's all I'm asking for, truly. That's all I'm asking for.
Where was the music? Because that made it even more awkward.
Well, I don't know. You know, you may have seen there was a version on Twitter that didn't have music, but when it was on the air, we did have music. So I'll send you that one. It was pretty.
Oh, good. No, I'm good. You don't have to send it to me.
You're good. Look,
I've seen enough.
I only have one piece of advice for people. If you're ever going to dance on national television and you're worried about how you look while you're dancing, just do it near Wally Serbia. You'll be all right.
Worst loss.
We're a little punchy after 1,000 hours in the studio. You've been there, son.
Yes, I have. Worst loss of the weekend.
Oh, I think it's Rutgers. They had that game in hand, and you know, the missed shots down the stretch, missed free throws. Gosh, there, you know, there are a lot of them. I mean, what Oral Roberts was able to do. I guess maybe you'd have to say Ohio State as well, the way that they lost it. I mean, Ohio State played about as poorly as you can play and still had a shot at the end to send it into another overtime. And, you know, Ohio State's season was just unbelievable. I mean, I think of all teams in college basketball, they probably maximized their potential as well as anybody. And so for them to lose a game where they don't play well, I'm crushed for these, for kids. You know, it's like the pain of the tournament. And how about Texas, not only losing the way that they did, and, you know, everything that, you know, Shaka Smart has been through, being on the hot seat all the time. He still hasn't won a first round game. We had a shot of Shaka. I don't even know if this aired, Dan, but it was after the game and he was in the hallway. It felt like it was outside the locker room or the meeting room, wherever they were. And he was just standing there, just trying to process everything. And he kind of knelt down and closed his eyes as if he was gathering his thoughts to go talk to his team. I mean, we think about the upsets and the incredible Cinderellas, but there's a flip side to that coin, man. And that pain runs very, very deep.
Is Shaka Smart safe at Texas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had, okay. Again, I mean, I would hope, and maybe I'm a little Pollyanna, so people understand the capricious nature of the NCAA tournament. I mean, this thing is nuts. I mean, I'm so glad I don't have to get on national television and pick these games, because, you know, if you did, you'd probably look foolish all the time.
Illinois, that's a big loss, too. A lot of people had Illinois. If you didn't have Gonzaga or Baylor, you probably had Illinois as maybe the team to win it all. What happened?
Loyola happened. You know, over the last, I'd say three and a half weeks of the season, nobody was better than Illinois. Remember, they went into Michigan. Yep. They beat Michigan by 23 points at Michigan without Io DeSumo. And that was the first time I thought, wow, this team really has championship metal. But, you know, to me, the fun of sports, and especially the NCAA tournament, Dan, is when you see the contrast in styles. And that's a big reason why upsets happen, because, you know, a team like Illinois, yeah, they're capable of beating in a half-court game, but they want to get out and go. But, you know, one of my rules of thumb is if one team wants to run and the other team wants to walk, the game's going to be a slow pace, because it's much easier to take a team that wants to run and slow a game down and muck it up, as opposed to speeding up a team like Loyola that is used to playing a certain style, doesn't turn the ball over. So you got to beat Loyola their way. I mean, I like them to make the Final Four for that reason.
Now, Porter Moser turned down jobs the last time around. St. John's, I believe, but you got openings here, Indiana, Marquette, Utah, Minnesota. Porter Moser going to stay at Loyola?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard this time around. You know, he came very, very close to taking the St. John's last time job before it went to Mike Anderson. He told me a story about how, you know, he went to St. John's and he got on the plane to get back to Chicago and thought he was going to take the job, and he was still deciding. So he took out a pen and paper, and he wrote out two statements to the Loyola fan base, one saying I'm going, one saying I'm staying, and then which one feels better. And he thought that the one that he was staying felt better. So that's why he stayed. But this time around, you got in, you know, between Indiana and Minnesota, Marquette is another landing place for him, another private school in the Midwest. It's going to be very hard. And plus, you know, he's losing Cameron Crutwig and Lucas Williamson, his two best players as seniors. So, I think this time around he jumps, but stranger things have happened. We said that about Mark Few for a long, long time.
Well, we had Brad Stevens over the weekend. Apparently, you know, somebody reported that he was leaving. He was going to take the Indiana job. And I went, he's coaching the Boston Celtics. He's not coaching the Orlando Magic or Sacramento. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no. Brad Stevens is not taking it. First of all, he'd have to leave the team now.
Yeah, I know.
He's not going to leave. I mean, you want to count the number of reasons why Brad Stevens? I don't know. You know, my pal Mark Titus was kind of egging this on Twitter, and I think he was having fun with it. I don't think he was serious. So I don't know who actually quote unquote reported that, but obviously nobody who had any real information. Now, will Brad shock the world? Like, you know, it's always possible, but I don't think it's possible.
We have a bet. I'm the only one who said the following: Rick Pitino does not take another job in his coaching career. Seth, I'm going to have you on record. Do you want to go with the Danettes or you want to go with me?
Well, I don't know who did. I'll tell you what I think. I don't know who said what. But
everybody, all of my guys said that Patino is going to take another job.
You're right. As usual, you are correct. I think Rick would have never left Louisville if that hadn't happened. You know what? If anybody wants to hire Rick, they're going to have to take their university and physically move it to Wingfoot. Because that's Rick's happy place, okay?
He's got a
house on the golf course. He's got a membership at the club, and he's 68 years old. And he's going to – Iona's perfect for him. He's going to blow that thing up because we're about to have Ross Ergedin with transfers being allowed to change schools without sitting out for a year. So when you talk about the MAC, you know, there's three or four good programs in that league, and everything else is a fall off. So he could make that kind of an East Coast version of Gonzaga because he'll have – if you give Rick Pitino just a little bit of a talent differential over the rest of the league, obviously he's going to blow it up. Look what he did this year with it. They were off for 68 days because of COVID, Dan, combined, and he still got them to the tournament.
I said this last week to the Danettes. I think Pitino's one of the top five coaches in America. I just think that he understands the game. He can beat you with your team. He can beat you with his team. He just has innate ability to be able to do that. I'm not saying he's the coach for every university or for every fan base, but Pitino can coach. We're talking to Seth Davis, CBS Sports College hoops reporter. Let the audience know what to expect today since we do have basketball coming up in about 3 hours from now.
Yes, we do. Well, to me, the game of the day, 7:10 CBS, LSU and Michigan. First of all, the Big Ten has not showed out. I'm not a big like conference guy when it comes to the tournament, but I know it's obviously a big part of the dialogue. LSU is a really tough matchup for Michigan because I do think that LSU has found another gear. They're long, they're fast, they're athletic, and they're committed to defending. And of course, Michigan is without their second leading scorer now, Isaiah Livers, who is not only a really good scorer, three-point shooter, he's one of their best defenders, he and Franz Wagner. So, you know, LSU's got three big-time scorers in that one. And listen, everybody's on notice. I mean, Oregon, Iowa, Oregon's obviously, you know, tough to get a read on them because they didn't play a first round game. They've been up and down because of pauses and injuries, but they are at full strength and they can score the ball. And that's what Iowa likes to do as well. And then, you know, the nightcap is going to be interesting to me, USC and Kansas. USC's had a terrific year. They've got Evan Mobley, but, you know, a lot of people go poor betting against Bill Self in the NCAA tournament. So I like the Jayhawks in that one.
It's great to talk to you. By the way, that whole FBI probe a couple of years ago that was going to blow up college basketball that didn't blow up college basketball. What exactly happened or didn't happen where LSU and Arizona and Kansas and it just kind of went away?
Do you remember having me on when I wrote that tweet that I got shredded for? So it's parallel tracks. First of all, the FBI track where you had prosecutors in New York and FBI folks listening to low-level scam artists trying to, you know, make a fast buck here and there saying, oh, I got this guy, I got that guy, I got Self, I'm talking to Miller. And they thought they were telling the truth. So they thought, hey, let's move in on this guy. And he's going to flip on the guy he's talking to. And guess what? He was full of it. The separate track is the NCAA, which now has fresh evidence to uncover. And it takes a while because they were not allowed to start investigating these cases until all of the legal stuff was done. Okay. They told them, hey, you can't do anything. So they have to go back and re-enter. Now they can use the evidence from the trial. Then they have to go back and re-interview everybody. And this stuff takes a while. Then you have the pandemic pushing everything back. So within the next year to year and a half, we're going to see these decisions come down. But if you notice, Dan, they're going to, aside from Will Wade is the only one who's like directly implicated, potentially, everything else, like Arizona, Sean Miller, this is head coach control. This is the NCAA saying, well, you didn't do any of this, or we didn't catch you doing any of this stuff, but you are responsible for what happened. So that's how they're going to penalize these things. And the last thing I'll say about it is the most interesting one is the Kansas case, because it's one thing for Sean Miller to say your two assistants broke these rules and therefore you're responsible. In the Kansas case, it's like this guy from the sneaker company that you have a contract with did all this stuff and you are responsible because he is technically classified as a booster. That's never been done before. So eventually it'll all wrangle out. But this whole thing about, you know, all these head coaches are on the line saying, I'll pay him this amount of money. That's not where the action is. The action is in agents and in this kind of underworld. And the head coaches, you know, for better or ill, and there's a lot of both, is they're kind of see no evil, hear no evil. They know what's going on. They don't care. They just want the player.
Who's in the most trouble?
Will Wade. Will Wade, because he's on. Now, again, it's like.
Now, he's LSU's head coach.
LSU's head coach. I mean, he's on the line saying, I made him a strong-ass offer, right? And everyone's saying, well, we all know what that means. But I always go back to Tom Cruise's line in A Few Good Men. Don't tell me what I know. Tell me what I can prove. So when Curtis Townsend of Kansas says about Zion Williamson, says, well, we'll do whatever we got to do to get here. Oh, I know what that means. Well, what can you prove that he did? So it's a much higher bar. Look, all these guys. And you know what's a shame, frankly, is that Patino is the only one who lost his job, and was never implicated. It was because of everything else that had gone on at Louisville. So
it's all shady.
It's all shady. It is. It's a shady world, and you're either in it. If you're going to be a college basketball coach, you are in this world, and there's mud flying around everywhere, and it's going to get stuck on you. That's what it is. Thank God for the games.
Have fun today. Thank you, Seth, and keep dancing, okay? Keep
Dan, I love you. Keep Dan, I love you.
Thank you, buddy. That's Seth Davis, CBS Sports College Hoop Analyst, and he's also Managing Editor of College Basketball for The Athletic and a part-time dancer. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We make way for Cameron as Loyola Chicago beats number one Illinois on Sunday. Next up is Oregon State. My Ramblers. Cameron joining us now on the program. Cameron, congratulations. How you feeling?
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I like the little knickknacks we got here in the front.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at them.
Thank you. How long have we been working on the mustache?
I don't know. It's been about 8 months. It's been a quarantine thing. Kind of started in quarantine and just kind of let it run, you know, and now people are falling in love with it.
Yeah. What's not to fall in love with? Does a coach give you grief about it?
No, not really. I mean, back in my freshman year, I was rocking the mutton chops during the Final Four run. So now I switched it up and went with the mustache. So I don't know. It's just something fun to do and just kind of adds to the lore, I guess. So.
To the aura that you are. If somebody hasn't seen your team play, how would you describe your style?
Together, chemistry. You know, we like to play together and play the right way. Defense, tough, physical. We talk a ton about physical without fouling. I think we do a really good job of, you know, staying on top of teams' strengths and trying to limit their strengths. And I think we did a great job against that. The Illini this weekend, just trying to take away one or two, you're not going to be able to take away their whole attack. I mean, they're too good. So we tried to limit their use of ball screens, you know, trapped IO a lot in the ball screen and, you know, just tried to work not to let Big Kofi try to catch the ball in the middle there. You know, sometimes it breaks down, but, you know, we just gave our all.
Do you feel like underdogs?
You know, that's the funny thing. You know, maybe in 2018, we kind of, you know, snuck up on some people and people were like, oh, we don't, you know, kind of underestimated us and stuff. But now, no, it's no secret. You know, no one's underestimating us. And, you know, when you play the Ramblers, you're in for a good game. And you know, I don't really think we're underdogs anymore. You know, people are starting to take notice of us and especially, you know, all those feelings that people had in 2018, now they're kind of coming back to life, and I'm just happy that we proved that, you know, that year wasn't a fluke. You know, you hear about so many teams like that coming out and you know, you have a Final Four run, then you kind of just fade off into the college basketball scene. But we've been able to sustain it.
How many scholarship offers did you have?
I had about 35 scholarship offers coming out of high school. Nothing. Nothing from the Power Five, though. So definitely kind of put a chip on my shoulder for sure. And definitely, you know, that's the same with all these guys that, you know, came to Loyola. We all kind of have that chip on our shoulder. You know, personally, I felt that I could have played at the highest level. And, you know, but I also wanted to go somewhere where I was a fit, you know. So I committed to Loyola really early in my career, in my high school career, before my senior year. I could have probably waited and played my senior year out, and I probably would have got a lot of offers, just just, you know, from big schools not getting the guys that they wanted. But I wanted to go somewhere where, you know, they wanted me and I could make an impact. And, you know, it worked out.
How would you describe your style itself?
Like my play?
Yeah.
My playing style? Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, high IQ, high understand the game, you know. I'm not going to beat anyone with blazing speed or, you know, I'm not going to jump over anybody. But, you know, there's so many different ways to play the game of basketball. It's not all about athleticism and speed and quickness. It's all, you know, understanding how other teams are playing, you know, understanding their coverages, understanding what this guy doesn't like and what he does like. You know, being able to play, I feel like, you know, I hate to kind of toot my own horn here, but I feel like, you know, I'm making other guys better on the floor. You know, I'm attracting a lot of attention, setting dudes up. You know, it's definitely positionless in my book. I mean, you know, I'm listed as the center, but, you know, for me, basketball, you got to be able to dribble, pass, and shoot. So, you know, I've always kind of been that way ever since I was a kid. I was always kind of like dribbling and passing and stuff. So
you kind of remind me of the Joker. Jokic.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are saying right now. Obviously, that's funny that you say that, because a lot of people are always, you're like the college Joker and stuff, man. He's incredible. You know, I watch him a lot, you know, and he is incredible. The way he shoots and his touch is unbelievable. I mean, just the way he passes, he's always thinking one or two steps ahead. And that's something I kind of pride myself on, as far as, you know, being able to see the play maybe two, three steps ahead than everyone else. But yeah, he's incredible. He's having an MVP season right now.
Yeah, it's not a bad comparison there, Cameron. Yeah. Cameron Krutwig, the Loyola Chicago center. I was told you didn't bring your harmonica, which I don't believe for a second, because you're trying to focus on basketball.
Yeah.
You have a harmonica, don't you?
I do.
Okay.
Well, it's in my room. So the Wi-Fi here isn't the best, so I had to come down to another room with like a wired connection. So I left a harmonica back in my
room.
Oh,
my gosh.
You had to tell me this stuff before I come on here.
Fritzy, I said to tell Cameron to bring the damn harmonica.
I blew it. We threw it on him at the last minute.
Okay. Now, you do love the same music as my booker, Fritzy. Hall & Oates?
Yeah.
Billy Joel?
Billy Joel, Elton John, Little Rolling Stones, Leonard Skinner.
Okay, so your go-to karaoke song is?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think we went to karaoke place, and me and my buddy on the team, we sang "Hello" by Adele. that got the people going a little bit. Me and my buddy Will, who's a walk-on here.
Can you give me just a little? Can you give me just a little?
No.
For Rambler Nation. Okay, how about this? You love Hall & Oates. Fritzy is a huge Hall & Oates fan.
What's your favorite Hall & Oates song?
My favorite's Private Eyes, but I understand
Man-Eater's right. One of the that's a good choice. That is a good choice.
Okay.
That's my dad's favorite.
All right, Cameron. Fritzy's going to start.
And then, I'll do the claps.
No, you got to give me just a little. Just a little taste for Rambler Nation here.
Come on. All right.
You can do it. I mean, you're not afraid of anything. Come on.
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right, Fritzy, are you ready?
I am.
Okay. All right, here we go.
I see you, you see me, watch you blow in the lines when you're making a scene. Oh, girl, you've got to know what my head overlooks. The senses will show to my heart when it's watching for lies. You can't escape my private eyes. They're watching you. They see your every move. Oh, baby, private eyes.
That's good, man. That is good stuff.
All right.
Made my day.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, give me the other thing. I hear you do a Will Ferrell impersonation, and Will Ferrell is watching the program right now.
Oh, man, if he's watching
now,
I love Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Semi-Pro is like the greatest movie of all time.
Well, I understand that, but Will Ferrell's in our bracket challenge. I don't know if he picked you guys, but Will watches every morning.
Oh, he didn't pick us?
I don't know that. I don't know. Could you guys check and see?
Can we pull it up?
Yeah, can you pull up Will Ferrell's bracket there and let me know? All right, so what's your Will Ferrell impersonation? From what movie?
Semi-Pro.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
There's so many good lines. I like the part where Dukes has got the big check. And he's like, Jackie, it's written in glitter, man. He's like, I don't know what to tell you, Dukes. You might want to find a bank with a big check department. Can I just get like a normal size check, Jackie? That's the funny part. Or what do you do, Dukes? Nothing right now. Laying low. I like it. Dukes is, where are you from, Dukes? Flint, Michigan. Homegrown. Dukes is homegrown.
Did we That's find out? Movie. Did Farrell pick Loyola?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh,
he did not.
Come on.
Well, you know what? He's regretting that. He's got to be regretting that now. Yeah, you guys did some damage to brackets. Like, do you feel guilty at all that you hurt some people's brackets here, Cameron?
No, I don't feel bad at all. I feel pretty good. I think, when we came into this, we wanted to win games. I think that every game that we've played so far, we've played with that chip, that edge on our shoulder. And when we've come out, we've done it. We all wanted that one yesterday. As soon as we saw that, so we were at the Indy 500 Speedway for Selection Sunday, and we saw the first two brackets, and we had a feeling we were going to be an 8 or a 9, and then we saw Illinois as the one, and we all just kind of looked, and we, like, before we had even came, we're like, here it comes, and then sure as it is, the 8 seed was Loyola Chicago, and not that we were circling that game, we always got to worry about that first one, but. When it came and we beat Georgia Tech and it was time for Illinois, we really wanted that game and it was just a great game.
All right, can we make a bet? Can we make a date here?
I don't know if I'm allowed to bet.
Oh no.
NCAA rules.
You're right. Yep. You're the grown up in the room.
come on. Trying to get me in trouble?
When you beat Oregon State.
All right.
When you beat them. Now you want me to say if?
Well, We respect everyone
okay.
we play.
Okay, if you beat Oregon State next Monday, a week from today, Harmonica.
We're going to have a game on Monday. We're going to be in the Elite Eight then.
Oh, you have a game on Monday as well?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Sorry to.
Okay, how about this?
I can skip the game.
Okay.
I can skip it.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
You are kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, I was trying to get Will Ferrell on.
Oh man. We could do that tomorrow.
Okay.
You just name the time and place.
If I get Will Ferrell on tomorrow.
Yes. I will be there.
Harmonica.
I will bring the harmonica out.
Okay. Let me see what I can do. Fritzy. Yeah. Just
see what you can do.
Just see. But I want you to focus on basketball today, okay?
Well, today was kind of like an off day for us. We played two games in 3 days. So
you got homework to do, Cameron?
We got some homework. We'll worry about that later.
Fritzy, reach out to Will Ferrell and see if Will would like to come on. And we'll do our best, Cameron.
All right. Hey,
you take care of your part of this and we'll take care of our part of this. All right.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good to me. Ask him why he didn't pick us in the brackets, though.
No, you'll get to ask him.
Okay. I'll ask him.
Congrats. Great story again.
You.
And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on again and go Ramblers, man. Go Ramblers.
All right. Cameron Krutwig, the Loyola Chicago Senior Center. Got to bring his harmonica. Fritzy, you kind of don't. You're supposed to lay out when you sing, so then he.
I should have. Yeah. I got so caught up in the whole Hall & Oates thing, but I love what a personable kid.
Thank you, Todd. Yes, McLovin.
This reminds me a little bit, like Fritzy singing with him is when I scored on Matt Stainbrook. Not to bring it back to myself, but I get a similar Matt Stainbrook vibe. The former Xavier big man, 6'8", could do it all.
Yeah. It was a feel-good story. You scored on that 6'10" guy.
Who hasn't
been seen since a
long, lucrative career in Europe.
Yes, Paul.
Remember we brought Matt Stainbrook in after Xavier was eliminated and he showed up in full uniform? Yes. I think he had the goggles on, knee pads.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.